thinking about that armadillo brought back some memories about going to Texas. Now, remember, I grew up in Alaska in Anchorage, and when I felt God's call to be a pastor, I was looking at some Bible colleges sort of nearby, or at least in the north, but God called me to go to Texas of all the places, and I never wanted to go to Texas, never wanted to go to a hot place. And, you know, Texans have also an attitude. Matter of fact, one of my best friends in the world is a Texan. He is a dear friend, and he still has an attitude, a Texan attitude. But like I said, God does wonderful things in our life. He gives us amazing adventures, adventures that many times we're not prepared for. But we know God is good, and we know God does always provide us with the resources that we need to make sure that those adventures are awesome. You know, I love hearing the stories of marriages. I love to hear the story of how people get together. It's always a different story. If you ever get a chance to get around a couple, always ask them, you know, how did you get together? How did you know you were the right one? And it's beautiful how God puts us together at, you know, situations that we would never even dream of when it comes to meeting a person. You know, sometimes we had this dream, this is how I'm going to meet a person. Well, it doesn't happen that way. You know, it happens in so many different ways. All we have to do is be ready for that special opportunity. So those stories are special. Well, I think a lot of us here understand that the world is different, very, very different. And when I was growing up, we did things a little differently. Now, some of us here can understand this. We lived on the Air Force Base. Also, we lived near Germany. And at fourth grade, all I did is I turned to my mom and say, Mom, I'm going to go out and play with my friends and go, just be back for supper. And so I would go, you know, around the German town, connect with my friends, and we'd play 3-4 hours and come back at supper. This is fourth grade now. On the base, the same way. Mom says, come back, you know, at supper time. And I would travel all over that base. And then fifth grade, we lived in a small town. And, you know, Mom had no idea where I was at. She just knew that I was going to be there for supper. There was something about food that always attracts us, but this day and age, a mom or dad would never consider that. You'll never let a fourth grade out and just wander and have no idea where they're at. In fact, I was told by a mom they have an app on their phone that they're connected with all their children. If one of their children has a phone, that mom or dad knows exactly where they're at. But in fact, they know exactly how fast they're going if they're traveling in a car. I mean, it's crazy. There is nothing that can separate these children from their parents. You know, what a concept. You know, it's something that definitely is needed now in our world. But back in the early days, you know, you had no idea. But this morning, we're going to talk about, you know, what can separate us from God's love. And that is a scary situation to even think of. And sometimes we do feel that way. We feel that we're in a situation where suddenly we feel that God is not around us because we can't feel God. We can't feel His presence. We're struggling with some type of anger, some type of depression. And that feeling of God being away sort of creeps in. And literally what happens is it starts motivating you in a whole different ways. And God wants to remind us that nothing in this world can separate His love. And that's the theme. The theme this morning is nothing will separate us from God's love. In chapter 8, God was using Paul to establish the uniqueness and amazing unconditional love that God has for us. That was chapter 8, just to show us how God loves us so dearly. And he ends with this phrase. It's a reminder because the Roman people were struggling. The church in Rome was struggling. And Paul was sending a letter to them because they were struggling with persecution. But before we get there, let's talk about the chapter itself because we've been looking at it for the last month. First of all, we know that Romans 8:9, God reminds us, you, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ dwells not belong to Him. He tells us one of the greatest ways that we know that we're connected to God is that we have the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's a part of our theology. There's no way a person who does not have the Holy Spirit can know that they're close to God. In fact, it made it very clear in Scripture that we know that we're sons of God, daughters of God, because the Holy Spirit tells us. So that Holy Spirit reminds us constantly that God loves us, God is with us.
That is a gift to us. Then 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We have this unique, beautiful gift that God reminds us day by day that we are his children. That's powerful. There's many, many, many people in this world are looking for that connection. They're looking for some type of purpose. They're looking for some type of connection to God, and they're struggling because in our life, we are been made in God's image. We have this core belief that there is a God. But they're struggling to trying to find that God, and that God comes in so many different ways, but the God that we know reminds us that we are his children every day. That is an amazing reality that very few people who are not Christians have. Then he gives us this beautiful thing called, we can call God Father. That in itself blows us away because you don't call God Father, not in the Jewish faith, and in many places you don't. That unique relationship and that privilege of calling God Father is a gift from God. Then the anchor verse. Remember the anchor verse? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who have been called according to his purpose. When you're in the midst of trouble, when you're in the midst of struggling with your feelings, when you're in the midst when things are going upside down, you feel like you're in a wash, there's something we can hang on to. We're sitting there going, God, why are you putting me through this? I don't see any good in this. What is the good for me going through and suffering this, losing something, or whatever pain that I'm experiencing? In that anchor, it reminds us this promise, this commitment to us, that God will use that for a good if we love for him. He'll work together for good. He'll do something with it as we love him. Now, as shared earlier, Rome, it was a unique city. If you ever get a chance to look back and study history, the history of Rome back 2,000 years ago, what was it like? It was an amazing city. It was one of the best cities, one of the greatest cities in this world. Everything was moving. Power and fame and fortune and everything was there. And the church there, the Christian church, was growing. But at the same time, it was growing in the midst of a situation where that whole realm believed in pagan gods. So they're trying to live out their faith in this unique situation, and they were struggling. In fact, that's one of the reasons why Paul, not only was he trying to let them know his theology, he was also trying to encourage them. You are struggling, and let me just give you a reminder that you are God's children. And he says this, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness or danger, or sword. He's literally, they were able to relate to that because they can understand the tribulation and distress that they were going through living in Rome, trying to be a Christian in a very pagan society. They were being persecuted. They were struggling with famine, trying to get food in their lives, nakedness or danger or sword. So right in the midst of those verses, he relates, he connects with them. Can God separate you? Is God separated from you, even when you're going through this very difficult time? So let's go to the passage here and just finish out. What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, again, he just reminded us who we are. We are God's children, that we're connected with him. He is with us. And in the midst of trouble, we can find good. God will turn that into good. For God is with us. Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He's making a very clear statement. That God is in power. Christ is in power. Christ is right with God. So you don't have to worry about all the things that you're experiencing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he throws out this reality right in the eyes. He hits you, a left hook. Bang. He goes, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. He gives us reality. He hits us with a left hook. He says, yeah. In all of this, you know, you're struggling with the fact that death is all around you. You're experiencing death. You hear about death. You feel death. Yeah. It's a part of life. It's a part of the very thing that can separate you from God. In fact, if you don't have Christ, it will separate you forever. So he reminds us this terrible reality, but then he goes back, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He says, no, death will not separate us. These tribulations, these persecutions, this distress, whatever's happening will not separate God's love from you. For then he says, for I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation was able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He made it very clear, nothing. We're going to talk about this in a second, just for a couple seconds later on. But he says all these things, and we can sit there, and as we listen to those things, we can connect with them. We realize, yeah, those things can make us feel like we're separated from God. But he says, nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. So let's get back to Genesis. And I love using Genesis. It's one of my favorite books. But what happened here is that God could have separated us completely from us. He could have done that. And a beautiful story in how God did not do that. Adam and Eve made the greatest sin. They committed the greatest sin. With their pride, they wanted to be godlike. With their pride, they wanted to live life on their own terms. And when they sinned, the first thing they did is they hid from God. They felt that separation. You know, and that's the strategy of Satan. Satan wants us to feel separated from God. He wants us to divide. He wants churches to divide. He wants marriages to divide. He wants relationships to divide. And he wants us to be separated and feel that we're separated from God. Somehow, if we feel that, suddenly we find ourselves in a position where we're very vulnerable and a lot of terrible things can happen. So here it is. Adam and Eve sinned. They're hiding. God said, yeah, you screwed up. You messed up. You're forever lost. I'm not going to even come to you. I'm not even going to let you know that I'm here. I'm just going to go ahead and just release you. But instead, God did something beautiful. Let's go ahead and read the passage. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid himself from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? He didn't have to do that. They knew they messed up. They knew they separated. They knew that they're completely divided from God. But God reached out to them. God's love never stops, even in the midst of the most terrible sin that this world has ever experienced. Where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? There's a beautiful example of God could have easily separated his love from Adam and Eve. God's grace right there. We think God's grace happened, you know, in the New Testament. No, God's grace happened right there. The gospel of Jesus Christ happened right here, where God extended his grace to his children. As I said earlier, Satan's strategy is to separate us. It's one of the best ways to separate us, to pull us off to the side. We find ourselves in a position where we can become really, really hurt and death. Now, nothing will separate us from God's love. I love that word, nothing. That's a very unique word. For me, it's an absolute. You know, it's not like, well, maybe a little bit. No, nothing. Just a little bit. No, nothing. Nothing is an absolute. Now, I think in our world, we struggle in our society right now with what are absolutes. Matter of fact, we struggle with truth. We struggle with values. And a lot of people say, well, it's all relative to your situation. So absolutes is something that's very hard to hang on to. But we do have an absolute here. And God made it very clearly that nothing, an absolute, nothing in this world will separate you from me. So I'm going to go ahead and look at this list just for a little bit, and I'm going to go ahead and see if I can connect maybe situations that's in your life right now, because I believe that's where God is leading us, is to sit back and say, okay, are these things that I'm listening to right now, am I struggling with that right now? Do I find myself feeling in a situation where I feel that I'm separated from God? So let's go back to that verse. For I'm sure that neither death nor life. The fear of death. Now, the beautiful thing about being a Christian,
God, because of the resurrection, has given us a promise that he'll take that fear away, okay, that sting of death, because we have a hope. People that don't have that hope have no understanding of the resurrection, have no understanding of the afterlife. They struggle with that. It is something that overwhelms them. It's something that takes their hope away. They struggle with the future. And many times what happens is that we can allow this fear, and eventually what it does will separate us completely from God, because that's what death does if you're not a Christian. But as a Christian, we don't have to fear that. We don't have to fear that anymore. We have hope. We know that Christ rose from the dead. Now, because of faith, and we live life by faith, everything we do is by faith, that we believe that we're going to heaven and that God has a place for us. So there's no fear of that. Life. We know life can easily rob us of our joy and purpose. We struggle with that all the time. Whatever place you may be, it might be at your work, it might be at school. There's times in our life we struggle with joy, we struggle with that purpose. And life can do that. And that's why Paul brought this out, because tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword can have them question God's love. In the midst of all these terrible things, I mean, when's the last time we had persecution? You know, when the last time that we had a sword or a gun? I mean, this situation is very, very intense for the Roman Christians there. And that life situation, they can rob their joy, they can rob their purpose. But, you know, again, God is reminding them that even in the midst of all this, my love will never separate from you. And we do. We have times in our life where we feel separated, when we are struggling with something in our life. It could be depression. It could be something where we feel, God, where are you? Where are you? I feel like I'm in this desert. I can't feel you. I'm struggling with bad feelings. Why am I struggling with these bad feelings? Now, feelings, we need to remember, is a response to a perception of what I see. What I see, whatever be a truth or untruth. So whatever I see, I could see in an unbelief, I could see something, and suddenly I feel that way. And if I feel depression, I feel something that makes me depressed, I'm going to feel that way. Well, feelings can easily mislead us, and I know that to be true. There's times in our life we sit back and go, God, where are you? Why aren't you here? Why aren't you doing anything right now? Why aren't you helping me? Where is the good in all of this? And we find ourselves separated. We find ourselves thinking, God, you know, again, where are you? And in the midst of that separation, we can do very bad things to our lives. We can make bad decisions. But God gives us his promise, even in the midst of all of this, in the midst of the situation where you don't feel like I'm next to you, you don't feel that I'm there, you don't feel that I'm helping you, you don't feel that whatever I'm doing can bring good into your life, I will give you this promise, my love will never separate from you. You can bank on that. That's the very thing that we need to have in the midst of all that. And the Roman people were feeling that. They needed that type of encouragement. Then he goes on, neither angels nor rulers. Angels, again, I don't want to really hit on that, but a lot of times what we do is we put a little faith into angels, knowing that angels will disappoint us, but that's another lesson. But there are powers. So many times I find myself seeing people, Christians, get so caught up in the political mess of this world. We struggle with the Republicans. We struggle with the Democrats. We knee-jerk when they do this, we knee-jerk that, and we find them ruling our feelings, and we're struggling with that. And sometimes we get so anxious because, God, where are you? Why are you letting this party win? Why are you letting this party win? Why are they messing up my values? And we sit there, and we're struggling with the fact of, God, where are you? Why are you not there? You know, and these things are affecting me. And God reminds us that we're in his kingdom, and God reminds us that we don't have to have these political policies. Now, some of them do affect us in a very major, major way. But still, even in the midst of all of that, God's love will never be taken away from us. And God, for some reason, will take that situation and turn it into good. Neither height nor depth, neither anything in all of creation, who can separate us from the love of God? Chapter 8
tells us the wonderful love of Christ. It reminds us who we are. And at the end, again, a reminder of what they're going through, that no matter what happens, God's love will never be separated from you. Now, right now, you might sit back and go, come on, Pastor Peter, I already know that. But when you're in the midst of a washing machine, you're in the midst of a situation where you're turning upside down and you have no idea what's up and down, vertical, and you're struggling with all the feelings, sometimes we lose sight of that. And God, through His Holy Spirit, reminds us of this amazing promise. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So, just personally, for you, is there something in your life right now you feel like separated from God? There's something that's, for some reason, you feel separated from God. There's maybe it might be anxiety, it might be depression, or it might be sin, like Adam and Eve. And that's what sin does. Sin does this. When we find ourselves doing something that's sinful or justifying that sin, we do feel a separation from God. It is us removing ourselves from God. And that's what's so beautiful about the table, the Lord's table. The Lord's table reminds us of the reality of God's grace. The Lord's table reminds us that if we struggle where we can't feel God, we can't feel His presence, the Lord's table helps us to realize that, yes, we can. Jesus Christ made it very clear that this is a means of His grace. That when we take the bread and when we take the cup, He says that physically, spiritually, He is here with us, and we need to be reminded as we take the bread that it has texture, that it has smell. It's a physical representation of the body of Jesus Christ. He wants us to have this connection physically with senses, knowing that Christ is real, not only real, but He is with us. It's a way for us to work through those feelings when we don't feel like God's with us. And then the same way, He says, hey, take the cup. So this cup represents My blood, a cup of redemption. And He wants us to sit back and just taste it and allow for that physical representation to remind us that God's presence is real in our life. It's a means of His grace, a means for us to connect with the living Christ. So partake. And again, if there's sin keeping you from taking His table, and God makes it very clear, if there is sin, don't do this. Don't take this. Because what it does, it undermines the reality of God's grace. That this is for a person who recognizes that his sin needs to be forgiven, needs to be confessed, so that he can have a right relationship, or she can have a right relationship with God. So if there's something separating you from a sin, something separating you from God, I want you to come before God right now in this silent moment and say, God, here is something I'm struggling with. Help me with it. Help me to own it. Help me to confess it. Help me to repent from it. And God, if there's feelings of anxiety and depression, God, help me to feel You right now as I partake with the cup and the bread. Let's take a moment of silence. Again, God, thank You so much for the beautiful reminder of Your love through the cup, through the bread, that this is an actual historical event, and that right now You truly want us to taste and know You through this, that You are alive in our lives. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen.